You have to think like Jesus if you're going to defeat Satan. And you have to have that kind of love. You got to love everybody, not just people in your club. Not just your predecessors, people that listen to your predecessors. You have to love every soul, even the ones that can't have read. But guess what? Never underestimate what God can do on a man that loves him. If they have the love of God in their heart, God can do some great things with them. And sometimes, if you're a real friend, you listen to people, and you're not intimidated. But the preeminent mind can't do this. It won't make sense. And the preeminent mind say, oh, they'll be just like Judas. Jesus washed his feet, and he went and betrayed him. That's what the preeminent mind will do. That's what the satanic mind will do. That's what the doubtful mind always do. That's what the mind of unbelief is worse than all of them. Well, maybe not pride. The proud mind is the most deadly. But when people have it in their heart that I'm going to be preeminent, they get angry when they see somebody else, especially if they're much younger, doing something greater. Just like with Saul. You know, you think Cain's jealousy was bad. Well, Saul's jealousy is real bad. You know, that's up there with Satan's jealousy. You know, Satan wanted to kill Adam. So he seduced Cain. He wanted to kill David, so he seduced Saul. And Saul never repented. He died asking an Amalekite to kill him so that the Philistines wouldn't make fun of him. But they did it anyway because he feared it. And he saw the witch. Remember something. When people get in pride, they act witchy. They just act witchy. And that's just how it is. And those who operate in preeminence, they're witchy too. And Jesus didn't want his disciples to be witchy. He wanted them to love each other. And they got it. When the Holy Ghost came upon them, all this became alive in them. That's how they were able to turn the world upside down. They did not think like the adversary. Now, I'm saying all these things. It's very important. I don't want to see the next generation do the stupid things that happened in my days. And now the Lord's about to return. So I knew these things years and years ago. I didn't, but the Lord is now prompting me to deal with it. So, so Joseph's brothers, you know, verse 6, and he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you this dream, which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brother said unto him, "Shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Hated him. Cain jealousy, Saul jealousy, satanic jealousy. What's the difference? And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." Oh, man. And he told it to his father and to his brother. And his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And the brethren envied him. But his father observed the saying. And his brothers went back to feed their flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them." And he said to him, "Here am I." And he said unto him, "Go, I pray thee, and see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again." So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brother. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed from here. For I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went out to his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him, to slay him. The preeminent proud mind is deadly. You can't win against Satan if you have it. See, along the journey of my life, God have used younger people, youngest people, you know, old people, people of different denominations, and they were instrumental into my, I'm standing on their shoulders now. People like Mom Powell, to anybody else, Mom Powell was just a Christian, just a kind little old lady, but she was full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. She probably would have sat on the pew at her church and probably never had an opportunity to preach if she was. I don't think she was a preacher. But the thing is, there are people out there that love God, and she had a relationship with God that inspired me. That's why I went to the Pentecostal church in the first place. I had heard that they go to church a lot and wear long dresses and don't wear jewelry and don't wear makeup, but they were very devout. And I looked past the things that were not so shiny, but I wanted that kind of relationship. And if the Pentecostal church had people like that in it, that's what I was after. And I found some wonderful, beautiful people in the church, in the Pentecostal church. And some of the things that they did, I learned it. That's not necessary, you know. The things that God didn't, you know. Jesus said it this way: if you build without me, you scatter. The dress code, limiting women to wear dresses, no jewelry, no makeup, nothing. All these rules and regulations, they were divisive. I found them to be very divisive. Because you're trying to, you're saying to people, if you don't do these things, you're wrong. When the blood of Jesus cleaned all of us up, and God don't really care about the way you dress. All Paul said was dress modestly, cover your behind up. But people still, they don't listen to what Paul said. They wear tight clothes, which is just as bad as a short skirt for women. And sometimes men wear muscle shirts and stuff like, you know, what's the goal? You don't want to cause your brother or sister to stumble, do you? So just dress like you got good sense. That's all. That's what he's saying. Dress modestly. Dress like you care about your brother, like you want to wash his feet. You know, you can't lust after a person. The Lord taught me that, to kill lust. In these later years of my life, I'm able to put in words what the Lord taught me in the spirit. You can't lust after a person if you love them with the God kind of love. And you can't wash your brother's or sister's feet if you don't have the God kind of love in you. If you got pride and preeminence, you can't put them first. Washing somebody's feet is humbling yourself and putting them first. In the culture of the day, that's what the low-life servants did. Now, here's the King of Kings washing their feet. Now, Jesus is the greatest servant. He died so we can live. Now, that's the kind of love that Satan can't master. That's the kind of love that overcomes the world. That's the kind of love that shatters the world, turns it upside down, makes it ineffective. That's why the Antichrist is hiding out. He's waiting for something to happen to the church, whether Jesus come get us out the way or we assimilate in the darkness. Then he'll arise and kill us all. Something's going to happen. It's not going to stay like this, I promise you that. But when the false prophet and the Antichrist arise, they have no power against the love of God. And see, people think, well, I'm right. We're preeminent. That preeminent mind again. That's what messed him up. Let's look at what happened to poor little old Joseph. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Just like people do now. They just don't kill you. They said, oh, here he come again. Here he come with that message. I got to do something. They leave. Or they talk about you. And, you know, I've seen it. I've been around it. I've heard people voice these same kind of things against people, men of God. And, you know, because they think different or because they go to a denominational church. And, you know, they look at them like a peon again. The proud, preeminent mind. And then it's the same. I've been around people that's Baptist, and here come that Pentecostal again. They crazy. they look at them like they just a peon. They don't go to school. They hadn't been taught nothing. They just preaching on the stuff. I've heard all this stuff. Oh, I'm like, man, how can people miss the point? But if you sat down, let's say you was at a church and you were sitting in the audience thinking all this stuff. But when you heard somebody give that testimony how God blessed them, you would sympathize with their soul. You would see the handiwork of God as they live the light that they, as they're faithful in the light that they do have. And it can make you cry. Some of the things people have gone through. And then you'll see their side of it and you'll say, huh, I wish I could share with them things that you're learning from them because they went through something and they were faithful. And I know that it happens. Before I was a Christian, I had thoughts to kill a guy that rode off on my motorcycle. Now, it was the prayers of my parents, I believe, the Lord interceded for me. I looked over at his house and I just imagined a funeral procession. And I'm like, whoa, man, I don't want to kill nobody over a motorcycle that's going to be wore out in a few years. And I came back to my senses. But while I was angry, the devil was saying, you know where the shotgun is and the bullets. Hide in the woods and take him out. And I was angry enough to just about do it. But I thought about it. I said, no. I can't do that. I was thinking so selfishly in one moment. And then I saw things from God's point of view because my parents knew to pray for me. And I was not a Christian at the time. I was a child. I was in, the ninth grade, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, I had no business thinking like that. And, you know, people wouldn't know, you know, I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost yet. But yet, the Lord helped me out of a situation that could have destroyed or even altered the course of my life. So you don't know what, just because they don't have the knowledge and skill you have, they have a skill. And they might be the person that gets you out of your ditch. I've seen it so many ways. It's so incredibly wrong. If you don't think like they do, some preachers will not let you preach in their pulpit because you're different, or you know, they're scared you might say something stupid, or, you know, it's a lot of fears that people have. And, they trying to protect that. Instead of just giving way to God, if you give way to God, God know how to put things together. There are people you do need to hear from, and they may be different. And I thank God that they're different. But you can't discount what the Holy Spirit is doing. If you receive who Jesus sent, you receive Jesus and the Father's will. But if you reject them, you're rejecting Jesus, the Father, and his will in your life. See, I didn't go to all the schools that others wanted, you know, would have. If I had been like a Rhema graduate or something, they might have heard me out. You know, I can tell you how I was treated. But that's not, you know, I don't want people to be offended at anybody. That's not the goal. I'm not offended. The Lord prepared me for it. I knew what was coming when the Lord gave me this assignment. And it came. I thought it would be better, being honest, but it was worse. It was much worse than I thought. But God prepared me for everybody he sent me to. He told me how, it, you know, I could tell by the way he prepared me what I was getting myself into. But the reason I went forward with it was because I had a vow. And what God was trying to give them was very important, and they missed out. They did things to their specs. If you know, Zechariah said, which one said, if the Lord build a house, unless the Lord build a house, they labor in vain. You have to receive what God is saying in order to go forward like you can. God loves us and he cares about us in every way. He's not going to let you down. But that preeminent mind, Joseph's brothers, they didn't receive what God was saying about him. They couldn't say anything good about him because they hated him. So he was the man that God was raising up to do something, and they didn't understand it, and they wouldn't listen. He got rebuked not only by them, but his father also. But his father had enough sense to keep it in his mind. Now he's coming. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near to them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams. So they were right in their mind, just like the preachers that do others not so well. And this is divisive because they're hurting people that Jesus washed in his own blood. We need to pay more attention to how we treat each other. You know, God loves us and Jesus is our high priest, but our ways can be raggedy sometimes. And I mean, it's just bad. And the Lord has to deal. When I said, Lord, I knew that they didn't understand. I knew they didn't mean any harm. That's just the way. Sometimes our deeds, we repent from things that we understand and know, but our ways can be sorry. We don't have a right to do anybody that way. I know how it feels. I've been done, and I'm not angry now. I knew it was going to happen because I've been to church all my life and I saw how people do things. But there are some honorable men of God that will never do that. And my dad he helped a lot of younger ministers. Even if they didn't agree with him, he let them preach, or he'd help them if they would listen. If they wanted help, he would help them. I talked to my cousin yesterday. They said, and they remember how if somebody needed something, my parents were right there to help them. I went to the hospital. He would visit people in the hospital, sit with them and talk with them. I'd be ready to go because I want to ride the go-kart. I want to go home before the sun go down. I want to watch this show that's coming on. And Mama had to just occupy me. But I knew it was important. And I knew that the people he was visiting were not feeling good. So I would also act right. But I was on the inside, I couldn't wait to leave. But I needed to see the heart of my parents. Every time people leave the love of God, they're missing out on so much joy. But when you embrace what God is doing, there's a joy. And even though you're not getting to do some of the things you really want to do, when you take time, and you know, sometimes I have so much to do, and every now and then somebody will pull from the anointing. They'll call me and they're excited. They're at a point that they want to know, and the Holy Spirit was giving me things to say. I just stop what I'm doing and yield to the Holy Spirit. And it don't happen all the time. So when you take time with people when they need you to, it's a blessing. When you go out of your way to help a brother or sister, it's a blessing. You don't know what their real needs are because people keep it private. But when people need you to be there, Jesus want to go spend time with the Father. I done fed 5,000 people. I done taught. And now here come a multitude. Well, Jesus would take time. See, that's out of season. He was appropriate in season as well as out of season. You know, when this was happening, you know, look at the mindset, the proud mind. They're focused on. Now, these are the same people that were patriots. They loved God. But now they're all focused. I'm gonna go back to verse 18. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near to them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, and we will say, some evil beast has devoured him, and we will see what shall come of his dreams. They don't realize they're doing the work of Satan, if they would have carried that out, which they would have done. And when you're in that kind of conflict where you've excused yourself to do something like that, then the enemy will use it to his advantage. They weren't thinking about how it was going to hurt their father. They weren't thinking about magnitude of what they would have been doing. They definitely weren't thinking about God's will in his life. They were only thinking about what they would look like if he became the master. And they definitely didn't want that to happen, because they looked at him as a spoiled brat, a peon. People that are washed in the blood. See, I've been around preachers. They were wonderful men of God. They loved God. They had families. They were married. They gave good advice. But they'll never preach in some churches. Some churches, if you didn't go to the seminary, if you didn't go to the Baptist college, you can't preach in the pulpit. You just sit over there on the side. People treat people so wrong. And then there are some that's not like that. See, the people of today is the future of tomorrow. If you can share something with somebody to help them, even if they don't stay in your ministry and you don't benefit from whatever it is they do, the goal is not to help those that can help me. It's to help anybody I can help. I've heard pastors say, I'm not praying for people unless you're a member of my church. People don't consider these ways. Seducing spirits, it got in the church. It's here. The works of tares, the mindset of the world is here. But you have to eliminate it by the love of God. See, all you have to do is give way to the Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Spirit saying? If somebody come to you and they want to talk, listen. What's wrong with listening? What's wrong with being a friend? Sometimes the people that helped us worked with us on a job. They weren't part of the ministry. They're not going to ever go to the same church or seminary or organization, but they're a person. And they forgot about loving others like Jesus loved you. My goal is to love every soul just like Jesus loved me. That's not just my agreement. That's my intention. That's my goal. And I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do the works of Satan. Let Satan do his own nasty works. I'm not doing it. Everything that's like Satan's got to go. I don't want my life flooded with nothing that he's of. I have no agreement with the unfruitful works of darkness. I love God, and he will be first in my life. Now then Reuben spoke up. Reuben heard it, being the oldest. Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, that is, in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brother, they stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast it into the pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it, and they sat, so it was deep. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brother, what profit is it that we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Now here he's in the lineage of Christ. At least he had a plan of redemption like Reuben did. He said, come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. He was angry enough to do something as low down as this, but yet save his brother from certain death. Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. They were used to listening to Judah. And then there passed by Midianites merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph to Egypt. And then Reuben returned to the pit, and behold, Joseph was not there, and he rent his clothes. And he returned to his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? Reuben wanted to get back in the grace of his father again. He was always trying to get back in the grace of his father again, because he slept with his father's concubine. And he lost first place. And Joseph said, you know, that's another story. But anyway, it's important to handle the things of God that's holy. Now, the Lord knew what needed to be done to get them there to fulfill the covenant he made with Abraham, that they would be in another land for 400 years. So what he did, he knew how they thought. He knew where they were in life. A lot of times people, you would think that they are further along in the glory of God, but they are capable of doing nothing no different than what these brothers did that fought, that stood. They loved God, but they were capable of this kind of mischief and evil, and the Lord knew it. And the Lord knew how to plant Joseph where he would need to be and test him and train him to become the king of Egypt. Now, he wasn't the king, he was the governor, but he was like a father to Pharaoh. Now listen to me, folks. God knew he knows how his people think. He knows their traditions. He knows their ways. He knows what they're capable of. He knows their weaknesses and their abilities. And he knows how to get you out of the rut into life. He knows how to get you from glory to glory. You're going to have to trust him, and you're going to have to love his people just like he loves you. I've learned so much from the Father by loving others. And if you don't follow him, the enemy is going to make sure you do some of the mischief that your patriarchs did against Joseph. You're just going to do it with words and slander. And you're going to dismiss people that God has sent to be a blessing. You're going to miss the point. And the Holy Spirit will not build on junk. You're going to have to follow him. That's why I'm doing this. People have been hurt at church more than any other place I know of. They didn't expect to be hurt at church by pastors and people, but they are. Now, I'm going to close. I'm going to leave you with this. If you follow God and don't think like the devil, God will bless you to be a blessing to people. You can't do it in your own strength, and you can't do it in any form of agreement with Satan. You're going to have to rebuke every evil thought from every evil seducing spirit, as you have to, and follow God. Now I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our wonderful Lord. Stay in victory.